Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 for study number 140 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 140-Injurious. Our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now let's pray. Father, give us wisdom today. Open the Word of God. Open our mind. Open our heart. Open our mouth. Speak through our tongue. Take control of us. Take charge of us. And Lord, for the next few minutes, may we be in the center of your perfect will. And I pray we might declare exactly what you want us to say. No more and no less. I pray your will might be performed. Lord, you'd touch the inner crevices of the souls of men and women who are listening today. Lord, I pray you'd get down deep on the inside of the heart. And God, you'd show the things and reveal the things that we need to see today. May your perfect voice be spoken. May the Word of God find its place and its lodging place. And may it do its work, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this 15-minute audio Bible study commentary will be study number 140, and it's on the first chapter of 1 Timothy in verse number 13. We will title this lesson today, Injurious. This will be our seventh study on verse 13 of this first chapter, 1 Timothy. This is also the first study on the third of the five statements of this 13th verse. We hope that the Lord will use and bless this lesson to encourage and inform you, the people of God, to the truth of the Word of God. Now, the word injurious is mentioned only one time in the Bible, and it's found in the 13th verse here. That's the reason you probably never heard too much about this word. The word injurious means harmful. Distressing. It means damaging or ruinous. Paul was breathing out threatenings against the church and the people of God. He was injurious. This is classified as injurious, and the reason he did it was because his heart was not cleansed and made holy. Paul was a lost man when he did that right here, and explains what he did, and that explains why he did what he did, and it explains how he acted the way he acted. There are three sins that Paul admits to in this verse 13. One is a blasphemer that we've already dealt with. Another was a persecutor, which we've also dealt with. And the other was injurious. Now, blasphemy was Paul's sin toward God. Persecution was his sin towards the church. And despising or being injurious was his personal sin in his own heart. He was injurious. That is, he did all that he could to damage the cause of Christ and thereby injured himself as well. He kicked against the pricks, as mentioned in Acts chapter 9. And by doing so, he injured his own conscience. Having sinned thus grievously, Paul makes a full confession of his guilt in order that he may magnify the divine grace by which saved the old chief of sinners of which he claimed to be. As a blasphemer, Paul sinned with his lips. As a persecutor, Paul sinned with his hands. As injurious, Paul sinned with his heart. Paul admits to all these sins. This was before he got saved or born again. For in this verse, Paul says, who was before about these things? And he mentions that in the scriptures here. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He claimed to be the chief of sinners. Now, the sin with the mouth means his speech or his talk was not correct. To sin with his hands means his work was not right. To sin with his heart was to have the wrong attitude about everything. When the heart is not right, our lives will not be right, and our attitudes will not be right. When the heart is not right, our mouth will not be right, and we will speak with blasphemous words and all kinds of trash that our minds can think of. You certainly won't glorify God. Jesus tells us in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart is the seat of affection, and it controls our emotions, our attitude, and our outlook on life. If our heart is not right, we will not speak correctly. And if our heart is not right, our hands will not do the right things. If our heart is not right, our feet will not walk right. And if our heart is not right, our mind will not think right. We find an interesting scripture about this in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Legion had just been saved. He'd been possessed with a multitude of demons. And now he's in his right mind. Read the previous verses of this scripture, and you'll see what kind of lifestyle he had before Jesus passed by. And we also find a backup to this scripture in Matthew we read a moment ago, out of the book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the good treasure, or out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. A good heart only comes from the Lord, who's the only one that can change it completely. Ezekiel said in chapter 36 and verse 26, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. All must have a divine heart transplant in order to have our speech and labor right in the sight of God. Now, many will say that they see nothing with what they're doing and how they're speaking, and that is because they're blinded by the power of Satan and can't acknowledge or know that they are living a life that is contrary to God and His holy word. In order to have a changed heart, we must have a heavenly heart transplant from the great physician by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is sitting at the right hand of God on high. We find the scripture reference to the mouth and the hand in Psalms 144 and verse 8, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. The mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a hand of falsehood, he says. The word vanity means pride, conceit, arrogance, or big-headedness. The lost or the unbeliever can't speak with their mouth to the glory of God because the heart knows not the glory of God. I want to point out something else here that I've mentioned before, and that is the word speaketh here in this verse. When you find a verb that ends with the letters TH, it means that this is a continuing of the word it is attached to. Here the unbeliever speaks, and he keeps on speaking because he's a lost man and his heart is not right. Therefore, he speaks wrongly or ungodly because his heart is not right. He needs a new heart to speak right. We can't speak right for God until we get a new heart from God. Unless we have a heart changed from God, we'll speak evil and go on continually speaking evil. It's a natural thing for a lost man or a lost woman to speak evil on the regular basis and not even see anything wrong with what they're saying or doing. In this verse, we also see a reference to the hand. Our hand can't do right until the heart gets right. And then the hand will follow our heart and do as it should do. Everything we do is controlled by the heart. And if the heart is not right, we will not do right. Whatever we lift our heart to, we will not do right until our heart gets right. And then can we do the will of God that will please the Almighty God. Amen. The work of the hands are classified as our works, and our labors are our deeds. Many are trying to do good deeds in order to be accepted and honored by the Lord. Our good deeds are not good unless they're directed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The lost man knows neither of these. And his deeds may be good deeds, but not accepted by the Lord. Cain did a good deed by offering his sacrifice of works of his hands to God. But God did not accept his sacrifice or his good deed because it was not a sacrifice of blood. It was a work of his hands that were not, and that was not acceptable with God, and it was contrary to the Word of God. And if it didn't work for Cain, it won't work for you and me. We find another reference about speaking in Jude 1, verse 16. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. These are unbelievers, and they spoke great swelling words that did not bring any glory to God at all. Our speech will reveal where our heart really is. How we speak and the way we speak lets those around us know if our heart has been changed or if it has not been changed. Look at the language of Paul before and after his conversion. And we're talking about injurious, and that's what he was doing. He was hurtful to the people of God. Before, he breathed out threatenings and slaughter to the believers and took them to prison, both men and women. He had no respect for the saints of God or no respect for the church either. He did not magnify God in his language and his speech because he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He had a foul mouth and did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah or as the Savior. He believed in God, but he did not believe in the Son of God. He honored Jehovah and God as the Creator, but he did not honor Jesus as the Son of God. The land is filled with many like that today. They believe in God, but they do not claim Jesus Christ as the very Son of God or as the only begotten Son of God. God tells us a tremendous fact from the book of John about this. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." These are words of Jesus. We're told here that we can believe in God and not in the Son. For a man or woman to be born again and have the assurance of going to heaven when this life is over, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. To deny the Son is to be without God. Salvation is of the Lord and through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after Paul is saved, you'll find him praising God and glorifying God constantly. Out of the 14 books that Paul was inspired to write by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we find that Paul is continually lifting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. He now recognizes God, and he recognizes his only begotten Son as one with him. He exalts Jesus to the highest place in his heart and gives him the honor and glory with every waking moment and with all his strength. He preaches and proclaims the shed blood of Christ for the remission of sin. He lifts the Lord to the highest pinnacle of his heart and claims him as his all in all. He now, after his experience on the Damascus Road, knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and trusts him totally for his soul's destination of heaven. He speaks and preaches the gospel with a clear heart and with clean lips. He's not a blasphemer now. He's not a persecutor now. And he's not an injurious person anymore. Paul also had a clean heart that not only keeps him talking right and pure, but lifts and extends his hands to do the good of the gospel and the grace of God. He talked right, he walked right, he lived right, and he did right in all his activities. He spent the rest of his life warning those who were lost to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and so they could have heaven and not hell when they died. He spent endless hours on a daily basis to evangelize the world for Christ. He suffered as no other suffered except the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth and crucified on the cross of Calvary. Paul also spent the rest of his life trying to train and build up the saints of God in the faith. He's given us several epistles, teachings, and trainings of the people of God on how to live and grow in the grace of God. He became one of the greatest preachers who ever preached and has set an example before every man of God on how they should conduct themselves before a lost and dying world. We as the people of God are made sure that we live a godly life before all mankind and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus to the highest place in our lives. We're to magnify the Lord on a 24/7 basis. We trust that this study, 140, the titled Injurious, has helped to inform you and helped you in your spiritual life. May God bless you. Amen and amen.